Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Gomez, before you leave, Gomez, you know, we've been, you know, certainly standing for your dad, you know, for a supernatural move of God in his life. And, you know, I have this CD that you would like, I would like for you to present to him. It's a CD of healing scriptures. Amen. And so all we need to do is to plug it in so that it's, it has a backdrop of music. And, all he has to do is just keep that playing in the house. Amen. So the word can go forth and Amen. So that the Lord can confirm that. All right.
You,
you're welcome.
You.
All right. Praise God. And, we also have, coming up, you know, in just in a couple of weeks, we're going to be having, Finding Your Place in the Ministry. And I have the sign up sheet for you today. It will be on the board. In Finding Your Place in the Ministry, it's important that we understand that, every person has a place in the body of Christ. Can you say amen? And so, we want you, to find your place. You know, if you don't like kids, we don't want you in the kids ministry. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, if you don't like, you know, if you're not comfortable with people, then maybe we don't want to have you greeting the newcomers. You know, but we want to make sure that we find your place in the ministry. And, there's a process that we'll go through, and, it will certainly help you to find your place. The first lesson is going to be on Christian service. The second lesson will be how to serve in the local church. There is a wrong way and a right way to serve in the church. And, you know, we're going to explore that. We're also going to take some time to review the fruit of the Spirit. Then we're going to go over the motivational gifts. You know, when you're born again, we all come wired for service. And there are motivational gifts that the scriptures speak of that, you know, we will explore and help you to identify. So the fifth lesson is we'll do a personal assessment. And six, we'll identify your dominant gifts. And number seven, we'll discuss a call to serve here at Streams. Amen? Glory to God. So this will be on the board today so that you can sign up, and we'll announce the specific start date. Praise God. No, we don't have the date just yet. But, you know, we will discuss that, shortly. Amen. All right. Now, by now you recognize that, you know, Pastor is not here today. Pastor and Irene, they're away, having some R&R. Praise God. Well deserved. Amen. Praise God. You know, we love them. We honor them, and we thank God for what he's doing in their lives and for the great things that he has ordained. So I'm very excited, that they're able to go away and to get this, time of rest. I also want to, you know, say, you know, welcome to our first-time visitors. You know, I'm so glad that you decided to join us today. Amen? So glad. Just give a round of applause for our first-time visitors, please. I don't believe that you're here by accident. I believe that this is a divine appointment. And my prayer is that when you leave here today, you will be changed in Jesus' name. Amen? Glory to God. If you have a home church, we ask that you remain faithful to that church. But if you're looking for a home church, we ask that you consider this one. Amen. This is a great place to be. Right, Streams?
Amen.
Oh, well, if you told me like that, I wouldn't believe you. This is a great place to be. Right, Streams?
Amen.
Glory to God. Praise God. So we're excited about the things of God in this place. We're excited about, you know, the tremendous future, the present and the future that God has ordained for us. You know, I believe that, we're on the crust of something, new and exciting. Last week I talked about the fact that we've entered into a new season. And I believe that with all my heart. It's a season where the Holy Spirit is moving in this place. This is Streams of Life. We're talking about life, living waters flowing in this place. Can you say amen? And so that is what this is all about. This is about the Holy Spirit having free reign in this place. Amen. Glory to God. Now, I have a message to be delivered today, a word for you today. You know, but before we get into that, I just want you to just bow your heads in prayer, please. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, O Lord, my God, for this new and glorious day. This is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we reverence your presence in this place. We acknowledge your goodness, your mercy, and your love towards us. We embrace the awesomeness of your grace in our lives. And, O Father, we thank you, Lord God, for that which you have ordained for this day, the fresh manna that you have ordained. Now, Holy Spirit, I ask that you think through my thoughts and speak through my lips. Cause my words to find the fertile soil of the hearts of these, your precious people. And I ask that you do what only you can do as you meet every need in this house today. We thank you, we praise you, we give you thanks in anticipation of those great and wonderful things. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everyone in agreement says, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Okay, today I want to simply entitle my message, So What Makes You Different? Say that to your neighbor. So what makes you different? Oh, come on now. Talk to them. Say, so what makes you different? Is it because you were born on the right side of the tracks? In a privileged family? Went to college? Live in a big house? Have some money in the bank? Have friends in low places or high places? Have the right color? Well, whatever that means. Know how to manipulate your way through life? Or is it because you have believed from the heart that form of doctrine which is able to save your soul? Tell your neighbor, I would believe it's the latter. Come on, tell him like you mean it. I would believe it's the latter. The simple truth is that if you have been saved, sanctified, water baptized, Holy Ghost filled, with the second coming of Jesus on your mind, there is a distinct difference between you and those that are still in the world. Can somebody say amen? So if you have been saved, if you have confessed Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you've believed in your heart and you've confessed with your mouth, and then you have been sanctified, you have set yourself apart to partake of the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You have set yourself apart, as my brother brought forth the word today, to walk on that path that God hath ordained for the believer, so that you can go through that metamorphosis, that change, that transformation, so that the DNA of the Spirit of God that has been placed in your spirit can now find a place to bring forth and to manifest all that God has ordained. Can you say amen? And if you've been Holy Ghost filled, if you've asked the Holy Spirit, if you've received the gift of the Holy Spirit, if you acknowledge the Holy Spirit in your life and you say, Lord, fill me up, as we were singing today, and you really have submitted your life to be led by the Spirit of God, then there's a distinct difference between you and those that are yet in the world. Can you say amen? If you've been water baptized, baptism doesn't save you, but it's an outward expression of an inward transformation. It's an outward expression that you, the old man, has been crucified with Christ. And as you are taken up out of the water, that you are rising up in resurrection power, and therefore you are not the same person, but you are someone different, someone new, because God is in you. Can you say amen? This difference stems from what you now know about who you are, who created you, and for what purpose. Tell your neighbor, I am a new creation. Truly God has given unto us all that pertain unto life and godliness in Christ Jesus. Therefore, the acceptance alone is conditional, not the provision. Whosoever will may come and experience the life-changing power of the living God. Can somebody say glory to God in this house? Whosoever will may come, because the provision has already been made. And all you have to do, you have to decide what you're gonna do about it. Ask your neighbor, what are you gonna do about it? Glory to God. In 2 Peter, do you have your Bibles with you? If you don't, we're gonna put it on the screen. 2 Peter chapter 1. Oh, you thought I wasn't gonna have any scriptures for anything, is that? You gotta have it. It's gotta be based on the word. Amen? In 2 Peter chapter 1, reading from verses 1 through 4, it says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace. What in peace? Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge. How? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all, some, all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Say the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now that is a mouthful. And that speaks to exactly how I started this message today. It speaks of the fact that God has begun a good work in us if you are born again, and he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? But you must understand how you operate or step into the fullness of what God has ordained for you. Verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. So you've got to, grace has to, you know, take its form in your life, and peace has to be multiplied in your life. I love that multiplication process. But here is how it happens. Through knowledge. Say through knowledge. That means you've got to know something. You see, and that's why we say when you get saved, when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth, then that is just the beginning of an exciting journey, because now your spirit man has been made alive unto God. You have said, Lord, come on in. I make you my Lord and my Savior. Now your spirit man has been made alive, but your mind still needs to be renewed. Can you say amen? You know, you get saved on Sunday, and on Monday you get up and you're like, what in the world? Why am I thinking these thoughts? Good Lord. I thought something happened. But don't be alarmed. You have to understand this process. You see, because between the promise and the provision, there's a process. Say there's a process. And you have to be willing to go through the process, and that's what we're talking about when we talk about the road of holiness. Because if you're going to go through the process, you have to separate yourself. You have to make that commitment. You have to make that leap. Because you know what it's like swimming. You can read all the books you want on swimming, but until you jump in that pool and begin to splash around, you have no idea what it's all about. Can somebody say amen or oh me? And so it's important for us to see this. Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as his divine power. So you have to realize that there's a power at work in the life of the believer. The divine power, the Holy Ghost power, the Spirit of God, who if you're born again, who is now joined to your spirit. In 1 Corinthians it says, listen, he that is he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. But here's what it is. You have to believe it. But according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That means he didn't leave anything out. All things that pertain unto life. The Zoe, in the Greek, the word life is Zoe. It's the life of God. The life as God ordained it to be. The life that God wants you and I to live. The Zoe kind of life. The kind of life that once you step over into it, once you have that life on the inside of you, you'll never want to consider taking your own life. You'll never get to that place where you think that, man, this life is not worth living anymore. Once you tap into that, you'll realize that, wow, I've stepped into something real, something that is sustaining. But you can't just put one foot in. Let me see if it works. Oh, I tried that church stuff. Oh, no, no, no. You have to jump right in. Glory to God. And say, Lord, here I am. Show me your grace. Show me your mercy. Overwhelm me with your goodness. Manifest your love. Use me as you deem fit. And see the Lord move in your behalf. Can you say amen? But according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. See, for too long, we've had people in churches that go through a religious exercise. Roll on the floor. Talk and spit. And that's all right if you have some knowledge of God. If you know your God. But if that's all you do and you have no knowledge, you're not growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that you can now begin to process your circumstances properly from God's perspective and now see that, listen, the God that I serve is bigger than the circumstance that is before me right now. If you don't really tap into that and see yourself really taking a hold of the word of God, then you miss out. Verse 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. What a privilege to be a partaker of the divine nature. You know, it's like you go to Buckingham Palace, you know, and you go over there and they take you and they said, you know, hey, come on, kneel right here. I now dub you, you know, Sir Tony. Rise, Sir Tony, right? So Sir Tony, and hey, rise. And he rises up and all of a sudden he has a new, step, you know, it's like, hey. You know, change his garments. You start to think a little different. You know, all of a sudden, he's like, you know, his speech pattern changes. All of a sudden, wait, what happened? He stepped into a new dimension. He believed when he said, now rise, Sir Tony. He rose up into the reality of what was declared over his life. Can you say amen? And that is it, the important thing for you and I to see. That we have the privilege of being partakers of the divine nature. Now, what's that? Is that all right? We're good? That was the divine nature popping through? Glory to God. All right. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Now, the word knowledge here in the Greek is the word epinosis. Epinosis. There's ginosko and there's epinosis. But epinosis, it's very powerful here, through the knowledge of him that hath called you to glory. When you look at epinosis, epinosis speaks of a knowledge which perfectly unites the subject with the object. The knowledge which perfectly unites the subject with the object. So you can see that it's the knowledge, this knowledge that you have been given, this knowledge that has been revealed, this revelation knowledge, the truth that the Holy Spirit has brought forth in your heart concerning what Christ has done for you and what God has set in motion in your life. It's that knowledge that brings you into perfect unity with your God. You have to understand that. Now, the challenge has always been about who will dare to believe God. That has always been the challenge. Who would dare to believe God? Believe what? That I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You have heard that many times. But how many truly believe that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? If you believe that, just put your hands in the air. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Look at Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45, verses 23 to 24. This is the Lord speaking. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely, listen to this, surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. But I want you to see, surely one shall say, in the Lord I have righteousness. That tantamounts to what we just said. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because there are only two paths or two righteousness that can be, spoken of. It's either going to be the righteousness which is of the law, or the righteousness which is of works, or the righteousness which is of faith. Can you say amen? And we know that we can boldly declare that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, because that's what the word says and that's the reality that we live in. Can you say amen? You have to believe that I am a new creation, a species of being that has never existed before. I know that's a hard one for some people to think. Oh my Lord. I am a new creation, a species of being that has never existed before. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 and 21. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is, not he will be, you know, maybe, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things. What? How many things? Which things? All things, right? Are become new. Verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made. That we might be what? No, that we might work it out. Work it out until we get to that place. We got to work it out. Work it out, huh? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Can you say amen? And so it's, you have to believe this with all your heart. If you don't believe this, then you'll never be able to experience the fullness of what God has ordained. If you do not believe this, then the enemy will have a field day in your mind. He will always bring up your ugly past. You know, as you get up on Sunday, in fact, on Saturday, as you think about going to church on Sunday, here he comes, Don't you think you're being a hypocrite? You know, don't you remember, what you said last week? What if you run into one of those guys that you used to run the streets with? What are you gonna think? So you think you're righteous, huh? You think you're gonna make it? Look at you. You still have the old habits. Nothing has changed. And he will come and he will try to deceive you. He will try to come and make you feel like, I think I'm going to just roll over instead of rolling out of the bed today. But you have to remember what the Word of God declares. And I have taught this before, that when the enemy comes, when he comes and he starts to speak stuff like that in your ears, you've got to open up your mouth and you have got to speak. You cannot fight thoughts with thoughts. You fight thoughts with words. And so when he comes and he tries to bring those ugly things in your ears, you've got to say, no, devil, you are a liar. And you are the father of lies. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am a new creation. All things are new for me. I have victory in the name of Jesus. And you've got to be able to do that, to open up your mouth and speak forth the word of God to see the enemy flee before you. Can you say amen? Because the Bible says when the enemy rushes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. And that standard is always the word of God. Come on, give the Lord a clap offering. But you're a species of being that has never existed before. Because never before has the God of all creation chose to come and dwell in your heart and in mine. Unite himself with your spirit. Jesus said, if a man loves me, he will keep my commandments. And my Father will love him. And we will come and make our abode or our dwelling with him. So you've got to see that. That has never happened before. So you're walking down the street, you have to realize that, listen, I'm not like everybody else. I'm not going to say, well, I'm better, but for the grace of God, there go I, but I've got to know who I am. And know that, listen, never before. So I don't have to work it up, chew it up. I just have to be. Because greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. Can you say amen? Glory to God. So you have to recognize that. If you're one spirit with God, God, the Holy Spirit, dwells in you. He's united with your spirit. Such a man has never, such a woman has never existed before. If you search the scriptures, the word will tell you that the Holy Spirit would come up upon the prophets. He will come upon them, but he never made his abode in them. So you are special, and you didn't even know it, but today you do. Amen? Glory to God. You see, that knowledge has to do something to you. You see, when you step into that knowledge, when that truth explodes in your spirit, then I'll tell you this. You cannot help but change. You cannot help but want to change. You cannot help but want to just surrender your life to the Lord and say, Lord, I want more. I want more of you. That is the God that we serve. This is the salvation that we're talking about. We're not talking about just going to church. We're talking about the real stuff here. You have to truly believe. You have to believe that my sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. You have to believe that, because that's what the Word of God declares. Because if you don't, you're going to be involved in an exercise of futility, of trying to be perfect every day. You're going to be trying to be perfect every day. trying to walk on eggshells. Oh, did I upset the Lord today? Oh, Jesus. Oh, honey, I'm sorry. Did I speak too loud? Was I a little? I have seen Christians that. They're so caught up with trying to do everything perfect. And the reality of it is that you will never do everything perfect. And that's why Jesus came. That's why he came. Jeremiah chapter 31. In Jeremiah chapter 31, 31 through 34, it says, the Lord speaking to the prophet Jeremiah, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Oh, I love that. The house of Israel. You see, you have to understand that Israel was the name that God gave to Jacob. Jacob meant supplanter, deceiver. And when he had an encounter with God, God changed his name. Called him Israel. So whenever you read Israel, you're talking about a work of Almighty God. A work of Almighty God. This is his doing. And it's marvelous in our eyes. Amen. Glory to God. I love it. He says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Here is this. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. So he's saying, not according to that covenant that I made at Mount Sinai, the law that most people are trying to keep and can't keep it because it wasn't meant for you to keep it because it was impossible. But it was meant to reveal the heart of man to man so that he could see that, listen, you need God and you need him desperately. Can you say amen? Says, not according to the covenant that I made with your fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law. Notice, he didn't say laws. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and there and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Next verse. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. And hear this. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Say no more. That's the covenant that you and I have today. That's the covenant that God has set in motion by sending Jesus Christ. And you and I must understand this and recognize that our sins, past, present, and future, have been taken care of through Jesus Christ our Lord. Can you say amen? Now, if you don't believe that, then you make this journey tougher than it has to be. You still go to heaven. Well, you can smile about that. But you make this journey tougher than it has to be. Does it mean that you're just going to live your life haphazardly? No, because if you have the divine nature at work in you, things are going to be different. Your taste will be different. You're going to be inclined to do the things that are well-pleasing in his sight. You see, I don't have to tell you, don't do this, don't do that. That's what the law said. Thou shalt not this, thou shalt not that. And that's exactly what everybody was doing. All the thou shalt nots. But you see, but when there's a change in your heart, when Jesus reigns upon the throne of your heart, then there is something different that is taking place, and that will be manifested in your life. Can you say amen? You have to see this. And you have to know and believe this. Look at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, and I'll be reading from verses 1 through 8, it says, "And what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace." So in essence, if you're trying to work it, then you're not operating in grace. "But of debt." That means, hey, you work it, you earn it, so you're entitled to something. "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works." Next verse. "Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." Glory to God. Those are shouting words. You have to understand and believe that. Do you believe that today? You have to really check to see, do I believe what the Word of God says about me? David foresaw this and said, wow, blessed is the man who the Lord will not impute sin. He was talking about the grace of God that will be released. And it's in line with Jeremiah 31. Their sins and their iniquities I'll remember no more. That means you're not going to be judged. If you're in Christ, you will never be judged for sin. Because he is the permanent propitiation for your sins. He took your place. Now, the minute you hear that, somebody say, oh my Lord, I went to church and Pastor Mike told me I can just live the way I want to live. No, you have to understand. You see, again, it comes back to the, you know, epinosis. It comes back to the knowing, the knowledge. Because if you're operating in knowledge, then you realize that, wait a minute, I cannot be cozying up with the enemy. Why would I now, you know, go back into Egypt and try to have dinner with the enemy? Why would I open up my front door and let him come in? Because you know the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Why would you let the destroyer into your house, into the borders of your sanctuary? Why would you do that? Now that would be foolish. That would not be operating in knowledge. Jesus said, but I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. So for the believer, you just simply understand that, listen. Oh, nope, no devil. Not going to do that. I'm a new creation. Nope, oh. How can I sin against my God? How can I grieve the Holy Spirit? Why would I invite you in for dinner anyway? Why would I open myself for you to rain sickness down on me? Cause trouble in my family. Cause my kids to act crazy. Why would I do that? Why would I let you in? You see, because you're operating in knowledge. Now you're a partaker of the divine nature. You understand that you are one. You're a peculiar people. I'm not talking about strange now, but peculiar people. A holy nation. You understand who you are, and so you operate. You see, you can never manifest something that you really don't believe in your life and really see something powerful come out of it. You can mimic certain things. You know, you can mimic it. You know, people can mimic, like, you know, oh yeah, glory to God. Like, you know, you can mimic things. But really to see the full manifestation of it, to see it really manifest in its entirety, requires someone to really believe. Because it only comes from a believing place. It only comes, it only springs from a believing heart. Only a believing heart will manifest these things. A believing heart. And now, and that's why the Bible says man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. You see, I could fool you, you could fool me, but we cannot fool God. Can you say amen? Glory to God. And so what? We just simply have to make up our minds that I'm not going to play around with this. This is too precious. You know, when I reflect in my life, God has been too good to me. I have tasted and I have seen that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that puts his trust in him. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied is the man who puts his trust in him. Glory to God. When those words become alive on your spirit, man, I'm telling you, those are shouting words. You know, that's what creates, you know, that's the framework of my experience in this life. That's my only, you know, frame of reference in everything that I do in my life. The Word of God. The realities of this so great a salvation. It's what God has done, where He has set me. That is the only reality that I embrace. Because I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. I'm in the kingdom. Not the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of light. Glory to God. And I might not be where I want to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Can you say amen? Glory to God. You have to process it accurately. You all getting tired on me? Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because I, you know, this is important stuff. Do you believe it? You have to believe that I am seated with Christ in the heavenlies. You've got to believe that to me have been given the keys of the kingdom. Can you imagine? I give you the keys to my house and you standing up outside wondering, I wonder when he's going to get home. I'm tired. I want to use the bathroom. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. I think I need to fast. I need to pray. You have the keys. And you'll find that the key is in your mouth. You shall decree a thing and it shall be established. You can speak to the mountain and it will obey you. You can set the boundaries of your life if you're fully submitted to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? But you have to believe it. Now you will see, you know, I mean, growing up, we quote it very easily. John 3:16, together. I think we need to try that again. I think we need to try. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, verse 17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Glory to God. Now that, you know, we would, you know, recite that as kids and get, you know, for whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But then you come and you realize that it is quite something to believe, isn't it? Sounds, oh, yeah, I can do that. Oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm American. Hey, listen. Hey. But then you realize, do I truly believe? How many times, you know, somebody is talking to you and it says, hey, you know, you're going to meet me at that place, right? And you're like, oh, yeah, yeah. But inside you're like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll see you there. Mm-hmm. There's a dichotomy going on. But you have to truly believe that you have the keys. You have to believe that the Holy Ghost has been sent to me. I just have to receive him. Do you believe that today? The Holy Spirit, the Paracletos in the Greek. The one who comes along and aids you. So Jesus didn't just come and die to take care of your sins. He says, listen, I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I will send you another comforter. And here's what it is. He's going to bring things back to your remembrance. He's going to remind you of things. In fact, he's going to show you things, because what? He's the Spirit of grace and he's the Spirit of truth. Wow, what a privilege. Oh my God. Sometimes we neglect this so great a salvation. I've got to tell you the truth. Sometimes we neglect this so great a salvation, not realizing. You know, last week I talked about the Holy Spirit and the gifts. You know, I love, as Holly came in the room, I love to see the gifts in operation in Holly. And she's perceiving. And she's seeing. You say, oh, I see the Lord. You think she's just making it up? That's a real experience. Because her eyes have been opened to discern the things in the supernatural realm. To see the hand of God move. And to know the heart of God and what he is doing. Do you realize how much everything she was saying this morning lines up with the word that the Lord had placed in my heart? Did you see it all lined up with what Dan brought forth and how it all flowed together? That's what the Holy Spirit does. So we're not making stuff up. We're not playing games. We want that real experience. You ought to know that as a born-again believer, you can speak the word of God over the lives of your children, especially as they're getting ready to go back to school, and you can set the boundaries around them. And you can say, devil, you can't touch my kids. These kids are holy kids. They're set apart. They're righteous kids because the seed of the righteous is blessed. They're blessed. And you speak for it. You can go in your house or your apartment and you can say, now, devil, if you're in here, get out. In the name of Jesus, this place belongs to the Most High God. You're not welcome here anymore. This atmosphere is now charged with the presence of God. God is in charge in this house. How many remember the movie War Room? War Room. You remember when that young lady, you know, when she got to that point where she just got tired of being sick and tired. And she just had to say, you know what? That's how you have to get radical. I love that movie because that's the real deal right there. You have to open up your mouth and you have to declare, because what? When you speak forth the word of God and set the boundaries, things have to change, because what? If you believe what you're saying, you shall see those things that come out of your mouth. You shall have whatsoever you say, it says in the King James. Amen. Glory to God. I just said it in the New Jersey translation. But that's the real deal. That's what I love. That's what I'm looking forward to. You know, listen, I've been walking this path for too long. I'm not looking for some churchy stuff, you know, just, hey, we lift our hands, the sanctuary. Woo! You know? And then all week the devil just step all over me, eat my lunch. Oh no. I want to be victorious. I want to let my light shine. I want to understand that, listen, you know, I can't just act or play the fool. I can't be like everybody else. I've got to realize, oh, don't let me speak, because if I speak, things are going to change. Things are going to be set in motion. And it's going to be good. Amen? You've got to believe that God's plan for my life is for good and not for evil. You've got to believe that. That God's got a plan for your life and that it's for good and not for evil. So you've got to realize, if you don't believe that, then all of a sudden things begin to go wrong in your household and you start to say, oh my God, look at, you know what? I was doing fine before I got saved. But ever since I got saved, all hell has broken loose. Look at what's going on in my life. And really what you're not realizing is that, listen, the enemy is coming to try to steal the world. He's trying to test you to see what, do you really believe that stuff? You said you believe, do you really believe that? Well, let me see. At the first sight of trouble, many people, they're out of the church. Woo! Instead of running to the church to say, Lord, I believe your word and I thank you that you say that I am more than a conqueror in your name. And I thank you, Lord God, that because I am a believer, I know that everything in the natural is subject to change. And everything in my life must begin to line up with your word, because I know that your plans for me are for good and not for evil. Can you say amen? You've got to know that, so you can begin to see. You know, this is not the time for you to keep quiet. This is the time for you to open your mouth and to declare. Amen? The prophet Isaiah posed the question in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 1. He says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" You know, whom hath believed our report? So in essence, the word, you know, and Isaiah, I love the book of Isaiah because he speaks a lot about, you know, the messianic reality and what God had ordained in Jesus Christ. And he said, "Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm," the help, the strength? You know, the arm signifies strength, salvation, you know, the might of God. "And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" His arm is not short that he cannot reach you to save you, to rescue you. But he says, "Who hath believed?" That's the question. Do you believe? Because I cannot believe for you. I would love to. I wish I, wouldn't you like that, Dan? Just to believe for everybody and just, hey, let's just believe for them. Praise God. Let's just take care of this mess. Let's just clean up this mess. I got it for you. I just believe for all of you. It's good. All right. But unfortunately, I cannot do that for you. You've got to believe. My mother was, you know, a woman on fire for God, loved the Lord, served the Lord, but she could not believe for me. I had to believe. I'm a whosoever, and I chose to believe. But said, "Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Now Habakkuk got another revelation. Habakkuk chapter 1. And verse 5, he says, "Behold, ye among the heathen in regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days which you will not believe though it be told you." My. That's a good place to say amen or oh me. I will work a work in your days. The Lord is saying that I'm going to do something that people are going to have, they're going to have a hard time believing. Hard time believing that me, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Me? You mean this dirty old me? They told me that I never amount to anything in life. They told me that I'm the least likely to succeed. They told me. And I believe them. But I have a hard time believing what the word of God says. And that's why I talk about it's a process. It's a process of you renewing your mind, believing the word of God. It says, "I will do a work." Just imagine that. And that is why Jesus met so much resistance when he was ministering. Because here it is. He came and they thought he was going to come and separate himself. But hey, they said, "Oh, he's a lover of the publicans and sinners." And, you know, Jesus was hanging out with all the people that needed a physician. Can you say amen? He was hanging out with all the people that all the righteous, self-righteous folks didn't want to hang out with. He was there. He says, "I'm going to do a work in your days that you will not believe though it be told you." Now I went to Habakkuk, but this is also referenced in Acts chapter 13 and verse 45, I believe. It's referenced. They brought it when they were talking to, and you know, and talking about Jesus. They're saying, "Hey, this is the work, and you're having a hard time believing it. You know, you're having a hard time believing it, but this is the work that was referenced." It's Acts chapter 13 verse 41. "Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you." I got to let you know that the truth has difficulty finding a lodging place in the hearts of too many today. Even those who sit in the church building week after week and year after year, they refuse to believe the simple gospel message. They allow the enemy to deceive them into thinking that it can't be that easy. There must be something that I have to do to earn it. They are almost persuaded, which is like being 99.9% pregnant. It just doesn't work. Amen. That's close enough. 99.9%. That's... What makes you different if you're truly born again is the fact that you have embraced the truth of God's word and have entered into a covenant relationship based upon better promises, not religion. A covenant relationship based upon better promises with the only true and living God. You are a candidate for the operation of the gifts of the Holy Ghost and a conduit of the love and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You are learning how to live by faith and the leading of the Holy Spirit every day in your life, and it is exciting. Can somebody say amen? Signs and wonders will follow you if you truly believe. Tell your neighbor, signs and wonders will follow you if you truly believe. You see, what we have found in the church is that people are following signs and wonders. They're going all up. Oh, did you hear that? So and so. They're following signs and wonders when really that it's the signs and wonders are supposed to follow you if you believe. Because these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. I mean, the scriptures are replete with great and precious promises that God has given unto us. Isn't it high time we get a hold of ourselves and say, listen, I'm going to stand on the word of God. I believe and I will not be shaken. I will not be moved by any circumstance of life. I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to move in my life. And I'm going to say, Lord, have your way. Have your way. Come on, give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of this today? Glory to God. Just bow your heads and just meditate on the song as... Yes. Just turn it up a little bit, Brother Ed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Precious Lord. Precious Lord, precious Lord. Yes. Precious Lord, precious Lord. Yes, drawing me closer to you, I feel your power in you. Yes, nothing can compare, nothing can compare. Woo. Hallelujah. Spirit. Naya kora da rabasete kebora da labahaya. Precious Lord, precious Lord. If If you really need the Holy Spirit to begin to move in your life, just stand to your feet and lift your hands towards heaven. Hallelujah. I'm reaching. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, come on. If you want the rivers of living waters to flow from your being, just stand to your feet and lift your hands. Come on, this is your moment. This is your time. Now remember, I can't do it for you. You've got to do it. You've got to do it. You've got to reach out. Come on, you got to open up your mouth and say, Lord, I want more of you. Fill me up. Oh, fill me up. Oh, blessed Lord. Nothing compares. Blessed Lord, blessed Lord, blessed Lord. Come on, you've got to take this moment, take this moment. It's just between you and the Lord. Come on. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Nothing compares. Satakura dalabaha. In spirit and in truth. Yes. Oh, precious Lord, I worship you. Blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be your name. Come on, just shout a praise to the Lord in this house. Come on, you can do better than that. You can do better than that. You can do better than that. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless your name, Lord. We exalt you in this place. We magnify your name. We give you the preeminence always. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love. Hallelujah. If you're here today and you have not made the Lord Jesus your personal Lord and Savior, I'm not going to ask you to stay at your seat. I'm going to ask you to come forward if you need to commit your life unto the Lord today. If you need to step into this so great a salvation, I want you to be bold and to step forward. While believers are praying, while believers are praying. Because if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Because with the heart man believes unto righteousness. The heart you believe. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Everyone is saved. Praise God. If you're here and you just need a fresh touch, a fresh anointing to come up on your life, just raise your hand. If you're here and you need just a fresh anointing, if you're here, okay, I see a hand over there. Glory to God, glory to God. Blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be your name. I see two hands raised. Come forward, please. Come forward. Satakura darabashatekema. Han, you come. Hallelujah. Go ahead. Oh.